Last week we began a series, One Nation Under God, and we did part one. And under One Nation, we talked, the first message was One Nation. We looked at 2 Corinthians 5:20. Therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Wonderful passage that reminds us that we are God's representative. Then you have 1 Peter, you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. Why? Why did God choose us? So that we may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. You are ambassadors for Christ. Every one of you who is a Jesus follower is an ambassador for Christ. Every day you wake up, you are to represent Christ. No matter what kind of day you're having, you're to represent Christ to every person you encounter. And as I shared last week, you may be the only person, you may be the only witness for Jesus that they see that day. I had a wonderful kind of time with one of our own who went to a restaurant. And I talked about restaurants. And she had some less than expeditious service and never did get her, finally got the entree and the food later, and she said, I so wanted to just, she said, but I couldn't because you told me that I represent Christ. And I said, that doesn't mean Christ wouldn't be mad that you didn't get your food on time, okay, or get it at all. But we represent Christ. That's what we talked about. We are one nation. We're not one nation in America right now. We're deeply divided. We know that. But under the banner of Christ, we are, as believers, one nation. One nation under God. So we move to today's message, One Nation. In the midst of great national division, we want to be able to answer these questions. How can we be Jesus followers under God? As followers, how do we live under God in a culture, in a society that is increasingly anti-God and anti-Christian? Those are some questions we're going to answer this morning as we come to the Word. But what we need to realize is that as Americans, we are influenced by American culture every day. And what we need to determine in our lives, am I influenced more by the culture than I am by my Savior? Am I adapting my ways more to America today than I am to what my Savior says? And we see that everywhere, ladies and gentlemen. And so I want us to take a little test this morning. This is going to be fun. If you have your bulletin, grab it and grab your prayer list. And on the back, grab a pencil or a pen if you have one. You're going to do a little test. Nobody gets to see your test except you and God, okay? I want you to take on the back of your paper, and I want you to draw a 1 and a 10, and draw a line from the 1 to the 10, okay? You're going to put a 1 and a 10, and you're going to draw a line across it, kind of like a scale. And you're going to do that 4 times. I want you to do it. All right? And then we're going to answer some test questions, but you're just answering yourself. 1 to 10, 1 being the best, 10 being the worst. Used to be if you were a 10, that was a good thing. Nowadays, it's not a good thing. Now, what we're going to look at is to help us determine, help you determine, am I more influenced by culture, by the place I live and the way society is now, or am I more influenced by my relationship with Jesus Christ? First one we're going to deal with is entertainment. In what I watch, in what I read, in what I listen to, and in my time on social media, you get to put a line. You can put it in. You're not a 1 or a 10. You can put it somewhere in the middle. Am I influenced by my relationship with Christ, or am I influenced more by culture? In what you watch, in what you listen to, in what you do on social media, what you watch on the television, all of that. Am I more culturally interested in it, or before I watch something, before I type something, before I listen to something, I make sure that it honors Christ. And you need to put on your... Nobody needs to see. Nobody needs to see. I took the test last night and I didn't do as well as I had hoped I would, if I'm honest. Between 1 and 10. 1, everything I do, I watch, I see, is I do it filtering it through my relationship with Jesus Christ. Or 10, I just watch what's on, and if it's popular, it's good. And I get on Facebook or whatever else and do whatever. That's number 1. Okay. All right. Number 2, in our words, in the many thousands of words. Now, I want to stop right there. Some of you are going to say, you don't say thousands of words. I said 10 million last week because I can talk faster and more than y'all ever could. My daddy swears I could talk the ears off an elephant. I could. But in the many thousands of words you spoke last week, were they... And this, and I know not all of them were, okay? When that person cut you off in traffic or, you know, or something went wrong, and we're not talking about every single word, were your words more Christ-honoring and Christ-pleasing, or were they more kind of like everybody else, you're kind of overly influenced by culture? In your conversations with other people, I'll give you a real one to kind of mark. If you talked about the election... Was it Christ-honoring, or was it more like everybody else? So mark that one. Okay, number 3. We're getting into your back pocket. In your money, in my finances, I seek Christ direct. Now, this is what I did last. This is what I do in my life. I either seek Christ's direction on how to be a good steward of the money God has provided for me, or number 10, I'm more concerned with what everybody else is wanting to have. In other words, I want to keep up with the Joneses. Which is it? And you mark it. Don't let anybody else see it. You might not like what they say. Now, last one. Last part of the test. In your daily life. In your daily life. I'm seeking to live, number 1, I'm seeking to live a Christ-honoring life every day. Or 10. I'm struggling just to make it day by day. I'm influenced too often by the culture that dominates our society. Now, fold those up and keep them. And that's to remind you. In the midst of great national division, how can we be Jesus followers under the one true God? Not just any God, but the one true God. As Jesus followers, how do I live under God? How do I live a godly influence in a culture that hates God and hates Christ? And they do. How do I do that? Well, God's Word has an answer to those questions. It is found in many places, but we're going to look in the book of Daniel, the first chapter. Daniel chapter 1. Now, I'm going to read through verses 1 through 7. We're not going to go through all the 21 verses. There's not going to be time. But in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the vessels of the house of God, and he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasury of his God. Then the king ordered Asphanaz, the chief of his officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and of the nobles, youth, young people, in whom there were no defect, who were good-looking, showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, and endowed with discerning knowledge, and who had the ability for serving in the king's court. And he ordered him to teach them. I want you to catch this. He ordered them to teach them the literature and the language of the Chaldeans, or the Babylonians as we call them. The king appointed for them a daily ration from the king's food, from the wine which he drank, and appointed that they should be educated 3 years, at the end of which they were enter into the king's personal service. Verse 6, now among them, from the sons of Judah, were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They gave them new names. To the name Daniel, they gave Belteshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, Meshach. And to Azariah, Abednego. Now, we're going to stop right there. Robbie, if you'll cut the scripture off. Here is a young man and a group of young men that suddenly are taken out of the culture that they've known and are immersed in a new culture whose purpose was to turn them from the God they loved and the God they served. That's exactly what the scripture said. Daniel one day is there in Jerusalem, and suddenly he and the others find themselves captured and taken captive. Why were they taken captive? Because they had disobeyed, the nation had disobeyed God, and God was going to punish them. And he drops them right into the middle of a new culture. Ladies and gentlemen, if you were to bring somebody from the 1950s who had lived in the 1950s and suddenly drop them in the midst of America right now, it would be a brand new culture unlike anything they'd ever seen. Now I want you to notice what culture was trying to do, and it was the culture that was trying to do it, and the one behind the culture, of course, was Satan himself. What happened? They are, as you saw, they are to be educated for 3 years. For 3 years, they are to be indoctrinated, not in the ways of a God-fearing Jew, but in the ways of the pagan Babylonian gods. What a brilliant strategy. When a nation takes over another nation, we find it right now with ISIL. ISIL is recruiting people. Ain't nobody my age joining ISIS. There's no Arab my age joining ISIS. But boy, have they gone after the young people and the children. Why? To try to indoctrinate them into the ways. Folks, that's what culture, our culture, is doing to us. Our young people today, in the schools, in just society in general, are being influenced and indoctrinated and brought to show ways that are anti-God and anti-Christ. And if anybody says different, then I'm going to ask you to get your head out of the sand. And they are capturing our youth and our children. Culture is capturing our youth and our children. Children that love the Lord. Those children back there, like other children, we are in a spiritual battle for the hearts and minds of our children. And if you don't know that, you need to wake up. Here's what you also need to know. We're losing. We're losing. We are losing the battle with culture. First of all, the younger generation wants nothing to do in many, many ways with the church. They're falling away more than they did in my generation and in the next generation. And there are reasons for that. We don't have time this morning. But why? Why are we allowing society to have such an influence on them where we don't have the things we don't think the way we used to think and act according to this word, but according to culture? Because you and I have been seduced in our thinking to believe that I can live in the American culture, I can survive and get along in the American culture, I can be like everybody else, and I can be a Christ follower. And I want to tell you, you can't. Now we find in our churches, in our pulpits, it's going on. They've sold out. Denominations have given up the truth of this book and sold out for what's relevant today. What you would not have dare heard in a pulpit 20 years ago, today is the norm. The LGBT community, and I care for those people. I love those people. I want to tell you something. They are torn slap out of the frame about Donald Trump and Mike Pence. Why? Donald, I don't know. I hadn't figured him out. If you do, call me later and help me understand him. But Mike Pence believes in this word, and he believes what the word says. And those people are scared to death that all the gains they've made by telling everybody that anything I want to do sexually or any other way is okay, that the book doesn't say that, have taken over our culture, and they're indoctrinating our children and our society. They have just lost an election that is scaring them to death.
I'm not saying those people are bad people. They're lost. Culture has captured them. You and I have been seduced. We've been fooled into believing that we can live both ways. And you can't. You are either an ambassador for Christ or you're an ambassador for culture. Every day you are to represent Jesus. And it happens here. We've been seduced and fooled in believing that I can come to church a few times a month or a few times a quarter, and I can come for about an hour, and I can get all the Jesus I need, and I can go out into the world and I can represent Christ. Most recent surveys, it used to be, I used to love this. Sarah, you would enjoy, you know this, you and Mildred know this. I used to love to count on Sundays because I knew who was coming. Now, there was the crowd that used, you know, there was the crowd that came predominantly, but there was always the two-week crowd. In other words, they came this Sunday, but they're not going to be there next Sunday, but they're going to be there the next Sunday, but they won't be there the next Sunday. There was a group. Every week I could do it. I could tell you who was going to be. Well, they won't be here. Where are they? Well, it's not their week to come. Do you realize now that committed Christians, they've done tremendous surveys that committed Jesus followers, now think coming once a month is enough? Well, I want to ask you something. If I eat all I want to, like I want to, if I am at the candy store and at the Kentucky Fried Chicken, and I'm at the barbecue shop every week but one. But 1 week during the 4 weeks, I'm going to eat right. And I'm going to look good. Amen? In fact, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to exercise 1 day a month, Wayne. I am. The rest of the days, I don't have to. I'm going to exercise that 1 day. And I'm going to look svelte. I don't know what that word means, but it's a fancy word. Okay. You go, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. We got people who have fooled themselves into believing that I can come 1 hour once in a while to God's church and I can be a follower of Jesus Christ. And if you were to tell them that they're uncommitted followers, they would fight you harder than Hillary Clinton fought Donald Trump and vice versa. If we sent our children to school 1 day a month, how smart would they be? Might be a better way, but I didn't say that. That it'll make me a mature follower. It gets worse how culture's got us. We think we can bring our children once a month or maybe twice a month and they'll get a little children's sermon and they'll get a little juice and a little cookie back there and get a little Jesus. And boy, if I can get them here and just get them baptized, if Pastor Dana can talk to them and he can baptize them, and then they're safe, they're secure for eternity, and they're going to go out and change the world. Culture is killing us. That's exactly what Nebuchadnezzar was trying to do to Daniel, to Shadrach, Meshach. He even changed their names. Daniel was Hananiah. It went to Belteshazzar. You know what that means? Baal. Baal is my God. Abednego. Son of the god Nego. Now, if you don't know who Abednego is, if you're in the black church, that's a bad Negro. That's what they say. Okay, don't get mad at me. They say that, all right? Had one of them tell me that this week. Or Abednego, we used to say. What it meant, his name meant, was son of the god Nego. Folks, I'm going to say this very directly, and it's going to hurt. But it hurt me when I had the Lord say it to me. If your commitment to your marriage, to your family, and to your work is as deep as your commitment to Christ and His church, many of us are in trouble. In America, we make our children go to school. If we don't, what do we do? But when it comes, oh, you, honey, when you get old enough, listen. At 16 years old, I thought I was old enough to tell my daddy I ain't going to First Baptist anymore. My daddy plainly told me, oh, yes, you are. As long as you live in my house and I'm going, you going. Well, they need to learn to experience that. Hey, When I got grown enough, I could make my own decisions. I kept up and I missed one Sunday. He came in, packed my bags and said, get your tail out of my house. If you are smart enough and mature enough to live on your own, go make your money and live on your own. If not, you be where I tell you to be because I'm your daddy. You know what? I appreciate my father. The week before he died, drove himself to the hospital on a Friday, died on a Saturday, 8 days short of 92. He was still going to the First Baptist Church of Burley. There was nobody there watching him. He got in that car and scared everybody from my home place all the way to the church. Bless God, they'd put out a signal, the gold Cadillacs come and get out of the way. We are part of a culture that is ever changing. And the question is, am I a follower of Christ or am I a follower of culture? Because I want to tell you, you can't do both. Now that's all the bad news. We want to close with, what did Daniel do? In verses 8 and 9 of the book of Daniel, the first chapter. Robbie, if you have it, you'll bring it up for me. If you don't, if you have your Bible, grab that. Somebody move Daniel. Wayne, did you move Daniel in my Bible? It left all of a sudden. Listen, verse 8. But Daniel made up his mind. In the King James, I like it better. It said he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Now it says with the king's food and his wine. In other words, Daniel said, I am in the midst of a culture that doesn't know my God and doesn't love my God, so I'm going to fight them all the time. I'm going to tell them they're all going to hell in a handbag. That's not what he said. He made his own personal decision. I am going to live for God. I'm going to live for Jehovah in the midst of my generation. No matter what comes. And if you know the book of Daniel, if you don't read it, they passed an edict where Daniel couldn't pray. Daniel, if you pray anymore, we're going to throw you in the lion's den. What did Daniel do? He got to feed me to the lions. I'll just quit praying. Or I'll sneak into my prayer closet and pray. It says Daniel went up to the place he prayed and opened the windows and prayed loud. And he ended up in the lion's den. What did God do? Y'all know the story? God shut the mouth of his lions and Daniel never slept so well. He slept between the fur that night. It was wonderful. If you've ever had a cat purr, man, can you imagine a lion purring? That puts you right to sleep. He purposed in his heart. Now, we've come all of this and said all this for this. I'm going to be a committed follower of Jesus. Is that what you're going to do? You can't let culture have its way with you, or I'm going to be a committed follower of Christ who will seek to live a God-honoring life. Listen, I don't always live a God-honoring life. My football team lost to Duke on Thursday night. I know y'all didn't think I'd bring it up. I did. It hurt me. I didn't say nice things about the Duke coach or the Duke team. And they've got my victory bell, Robert. I want it back. But I want to tell you that I'm convicted by this message and I'm convicted by culture that I need to live more of a God-honoring life. Why? Because I am an ambassador for Christ. Every day I wake up, I am to represent Jesus. Why? Because I'm a preacher? No. Because I'm a Christian. I am a member of God's holy nation. And I tell you what, we may be earthbound. I'm earthbound. I'm here till I go, and I'm ready to go. I tell you again, if you hear that Pastor Dana died, don't feel sorry for me, because I'm in glory if they let me in, okay? I want to tell you the story I heard that my daddy told me about glory when I got ready to get in. He said a man and his wife both were very, very sick. The man died and got to heaven, and St. Peter said, son, I'm going to let you in. What is the key word of heaven? Won't you just to say it for me? He said, love. He said, come on in, son. Come on in, son. St. Peter happened to be busy. The man's wife died. She got up to heaven and her husband's at the gate. He said, if you can give me the key word to heaven, you can come in. She said, love. He said, no, triskaidiscophobia. I'm earthbound. And I want to tell you, it's getting harder and harder and harder to survive in this culture. It would be easier for me to be vanilla and keep my mouth shut and not talk about our children and the danger of the culture. And it'd be so much easier, and I could just go on and finish my course, and then I would stand before the Lord and have Him say to me, "You didn't do too well, my good and faithful servant. I'm earthbound, but I'm heavenly minded." What about you? We're going to come in a time of invitation. The saddest scripture that I know of in the Old Testament is the one that talks about children. It was after the death of Joshua, a nation that had come with God, that God had given the promised land to. And it says a nation arose, a generation arose that did not know the Lord or the things of the Lord. Can you imagine? Only one generation from Joshua, the people had already forgotten God. Our children, and I'm not trying to tell you that the schools are... Listen, there are Christian school people in here. There are Christian. We need to influence our culture. We don't put up our hands and fight, but we stand up. Stand up for Jesus. And you're going to have to decide. You've heard the message. You're going to stand before the Lord one day, and He's going to say, "You know, all that time you spent on Facebook, you could have spent talking to me, but you were too busy and too tired. You were too busy on Facebook or too busy texting to talk to me." And there's nothing wrong with those things. Nothing wrong with those things. If you ever send me a text, don't expect a quick answer, because I got to one finger it. I don't like you people that can. I did that, and I could send Hebrew to somebody and not even mean to. Folks, culture versus Christ. Ambassadors under God. Let's pray together. Father, I'm not supposed to worry, but I'm deeply concerned for my nation. I'm deeply concerned for my community. I'm deeply concerned for my state. And I'm not overjoyed at the results of an election that made us even deeper divided. There are things I am pleased with, Lord, but I know that culture is capturing us. And we, as Jesus followers, are to live in the culture, but we're to influence the culture, not the culture so overly influence us. Lord, help us to do that. Help us to realize here that a 1 hour, 1 day, a month commitment to this church, to Holloway's, is nothing. May we hear your call to come home. Amen.